Great. Thanks, Simon. This is such a joy for me today just to get to know Simon and, getting a bit tangled up here. Getting to know Simon over the day has been loads of fun, and then having dinner with his family, which was a great experience. Good to meet the little kiddies, which is wonderful, and Caroline made a really good meal, which is great. Just trying to get myself organized. And I'm really excited. I've been looking forward to this time together with you as a church. I've been looking forward to this evening for a number of weeks now, and really been praying into what God wants to do with you, because I believe that God's got some incredible prophetic purposes for you as a church. Prophetic is just a big word for understanding God's heart or feeling God's heart. And I believe God's heart for you as a church is very big. I believe that God wants to do some incredible things with you as a people, as called out ones to impact not only Bedford, but the nations of the earth. And I want to say our nation, I'm from South Africa, has been blessed already by your church in the sending of Drew and Megan, and just seeing what God is doing with them. So we feel rich that you've sent a couple like that from amongst you to the nation of South Africa to impact. And I want to say you're having an impact upon another nation. You're having an impact upon another people. And that is just so exciting. And it's been my joy for the last 7 months to be serving in the UK and seeing God do some really amazing things. It's been such a pleasure just seeing God impact upon your nation in some dramatic ways. I believe that the UK has put their feet in the rising tide of revival. I'll say amen to that myself. I thought it was a good point. I really believe that with all of my heart. Wherever I've gone, I've seen more and more folk responding to the wonderful kindness of Jesus. If you're not a Christian yet, and I want to say, Jesus is the kindest person I've ever met. There is nothing like it. My life has been dramatically changed because of one encounter with him. And he's ever so kind and gracious to someone like me who was so far away from him. And it's been a joy seeing people respond to Jesus. I was doing some meetings recently in Milton Keynes, and we had a young guy in that meeting who totally had not responded to the gospel of Jesus. In fact, he was quite anti. You know, one of those guys who just kind of come to church because someone dragged them along. And he was sitting at the back, arms folded, checking me out, as if to say, try and impress me if you can. And God began to move in the meeting, and we began to see God really touch some people. It was just wonderful, just a sense of the presence of God. Some people just encountering him in some very dramatic ways. And I felt God began to give me a word for this young man. I walked over to him and began to speak to him and share God's heart with him. And it was just so incredible. This young man just began to weep from kind of a hardened heart to someone just weeping in the presence of God, as God began to share with him the secrets of his heart. He had a brace on his elbow because he'd had an accident, motorbike accident, prayed for him, and he's like, dude, it's like pins and needles all the way up and down my arm. And I said, well, I think God's doing something. Took off his brace, full mobility, got restored, completely healed. At the end of that evening, I'm not an evangelist. I love evangelism. I love hanging out with people who do not yet know Jesus. It's an important part of being a Christian. Amen. Anyway, I'm not like, you know, I don't preach evangelistic messages. I'm no Billy Graham kind of thing. And so I preached a message, and at the end, anyone wanting to get saved, anyone want to respond to Jesus? And this guy and his friend immediately put up their hands because they had an encounter with God. And it was just so incredible to see God do that. And everywhere I'm going, I'm hearing stories of men and women surrendering to Jesus. Everywhere I'm going, I'm hearing stories of people getting healed in the most dramatic ways. I had the privilege of being in Northern Europe just about 3 weekends ago now. serving with Terry Virgo in our New Frontiers conference there. It was great. We had about 600 people from all over Northern Europe come together. Just an amazing time with the presence of God. The first lady that came up for prayer, as we were going to pray for, oil began to drip from her hands. I mean, it was just bizarre. I looked and I thought, like, whoa, that's different. And just began to manifest and drip off from her hands. It was incredible. It was running all the way down her arms. As the presence of God began to touch her and heal her body, when another guy right at the back of the meeting, very ill, terminal illness, crumbling bone disease, basically. So he was walking with a walking stick because if he applied too much pressure, his bones would begin to break. He was in incredible, incredible pain. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge for this guy, and he began to walk out from the back all the way down to the front. I could see he was visibly quite ill, and prayed for him, and the power of God began to move on his body. It was like waves. It was quite incredible to watch. The next evening, he walked down from the back to share his testimony of how he stopped all painkillers. Every last bit of pain had left. All the symptoms of that terminal illness had begun to disappear. He was completely healthy and looked so strong up front. I didn't even know it was the same person I prayed for the night before. God is on the move.
Amen.
God is on the move. I'm so excited. We had a young little boy come up afterwards for some prayer with his dad. He had some spots on his retina, and it was causing a lot of pain for him. He's going for some tests later that week. Prayed for him. And to be honest, it was kind of one of those prayers. I'm sure none of you get these kinds of prayers where you think, I don't know if that's going to work. But anyway, we'll move on. And it was kind of one of those prayers. Lord Jesus, please heal this little boy. Just got an email on the Wednesday, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday, saying God had completely healed him. I went for tests. All the spots had miraculously disappeared. God's on the move. We had another lady with psoriasis in her head. So it's not a very nice thing to have, apparently. And so she had scabs in her head, and it was quite itchy. Prayed for her, and in an instant, her head turned back to normal. So all the scars, all the scabs, everything disappeared, and her head returned back to normal. I want to say to you, we are living in a day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we need to come in to these as not just people who are looking for superstars, but men and women who are part of taking the very kingdom of God to our streets. And this evening I want to share of John chapter 14 about understanding how we operate, how we come into a place of the miraculous. And I believe tonight God wants to heal some people. God wants to deliver some people. God wants to fill some people up. And I want to encourage you tonight. We're coming to meet with Him. I mean, trust me, I can give you nothing. I'm just little boy from Africa. And God has been so gracious to use me. But I believe it's His desire, it's His passion that each one of us come into a place of overcoming power. Each one of us need to come into a place where we begin to see God use us in the miraculous. It is your inheritance. It is your inheritance. And so I want to trust you. Before I begin, I felt during the worship, in fact, I felt this but earlier than worship, I thought there was someone who'd been struggling with severe back pain, and I think you might even be wearing or have to at certain times wear like a brace or something to keep your back intact, really. I want to pray for that person, but too quickly won't you slip up your hand. I saw someone with severe back pain. I think you might have to wear a brace, but I want to pray for you if that's you. Does that make sense to anyone? Quickly slip up your hand. Great, there might be more than one of you. Cool. Do any of you have to wear like a brace sometimes? Yeah, both of you.
It's not painful at the moment, but it's been quite excruciating at times. I've got to wear a brace to support
stand up. Let's pray for you. I felt the Lord say there was going to be someone on the right-hand side who was going to struggle with it. So will you stand? Let's pray. I felt for both of you. Let's ask God. In fact, do you mind just coming out to the front here quickly? I'm just going to pray for you. Now, I want to encourage you guys. Won't you join me in believing God for the miraculous? Won't you join me in asking God for healing to flow? And so the way you can do that is by extending your faith. Now, faith is simply trusting God's ability to act. So won't you extend your faith to this folk? Let's believe God right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your anointing. I take authority over this back problem and I command it to go now in Jesus' name. I thank you for your anointing that gets released upon this dear brother and healing begins to flow. Father, I speak right now in Jesus' name to this lower back. I speak to every aspect of it. I say, be healed in Jesus' name. I command back problems to go now in the name of Jesus. Go now in the name of Jesus. Have you got pain right now in your back or have you had pain?
I have. I was standing there and still in pain.
Have you got any pain now?
Still
some pain? Cool. We're just going to pray one more time. Father, we command this pain to lift off right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for your anointing that begins to flow upon this dear brother right now. Let fire begin to fall right now. You got pain? You don't have pain now, do you?
It's not as acute as it was, but I have had to wear a brace probably in the last month or so.
All right. How would you know if you're healed?
I probably wouldn't be able to tell. I mean, it's a little stiff right now, so...
Let's ask God to remove that stiffness. Lord, we ask you for one... Come on, let's join in. Father, we want to ask you to take this pain away now in Jesus' name. Mobility, be restored now. Pain, go in Jesus' name. We thank you for your anointing, your power right now in the name of Jesus. Healing begin to flow right now. In Jesus' name. The presence of God is going to come upon you, sir, right now. Thank you, Lord. Is anything happening? Can you feel anything specific? Come, Holy Spirit. How's that feeling? You can move? Could you do that before? Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. All pain, go in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. Has anything changed?
It's hard to tell. You know, it's the same way. It kind of comes and goes.
Uh-huh.
So if I stood for a long time, I don't know if it comes back or it's...
Right. Well, let's trust God that there's going to be healing for both of you. Do you feel like something's changed, though, by moving? Could you do that kind of movements before?
When I came in, no.
No, so you couldn't get it when you came in?
I was working in the yard when I was...
That's a good thing. That's improvement. Praise God, how are you feeling? Can you tell?
It's hard to tell.
Praise God. Praise God, you guys can sit down. That's cool, I think there was some improvement with that gentleman over there. Thank you, Lord. Well, you turn to John chapter 14. I want us to read from verse 12. So we're going to go for some more healing in a moment. Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. This is somebody who's been, I think you're probably right about the halfway over here, second half of the building. I think you might be struggling with some sort of ankle problem. I see kind of pain in your ankle. I think it might be your right ankle. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Just quickly, does that make sense to anyone? You might be somewhere else in the building, but I think you're somewhere over in this section over here, probably kind of second half-ish. Is anyone with ankle pain? Does that make sense to anyone? Just quickly slip up your hand. You've had some kind of joint problem in your ankle. At the back over there, right?
It's the arch.
Right, we're going to pray for you. Is anyone else? You've been struggling with... Just stand up if that's you. Cool. Excellent. Thank you, Lord. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we want to speak to ankle pain right now.
Yes.
We command
yes.
these ankles to be yes. healed in yes. Jesus' name. We command life to begin to flow right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We take authority over pain and discomfort and immobility, and we say, be healed in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. For real. John chapter 14 and verse 12. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. One of the things people often ask me in church is, well, how do we come into a place of ever-increasing power and revelation in God? I believe it is the portion and it is the inheritance of every Christian in this room to enjoy ever-increasing encounters and ever-increasing power with the Father. It is not for the special select group of people like Benny Hinn or Smith Wigglesworth or whoever. It is for all of us. God's promise is that we can experience his power and step into it in such a way as to see it demonstrated in every aspect of our life. And so this evening I wanted to share some brief things that I believe will help us understand how we can come in to a place of ever-increasing power. I love this encounter with the disciples. Jesus promises his disciples that greater things will you do. Now I want to paint a little picture for you just for a moment, because I'm thinking these disciples must be thinking, whoa, how's this going to happen? Every single day with Jesus was an adventure. It was never static. It was never boring. It was never predictable. Jesus walked on planet Earth and you just never knew what was going to be happening next. Every funeral that Jesus ever attended became a non-event. I mean, it's just incredible. Imagine walking around with Jesus and there's this leper who comes up. His finger has fallen off. And Jesus says, be made whole, and out pops a finger. I mean, this is like kind of party tricks of note on a whole nother level. And Jesus walks around wherever he goes and he demonstrates the kingdom in incredible power and in incredible ways. He begins to move in incredible anointing. And some meetings it says all who were sick and oppressed of the devil got healed. I am contending for all. I look forward to the day when we have meetings and everyone who is sick, who is demonized, who is oppressed by the enemy, gets healed, delivered, and set free. I can't wait for the day when the kingdom of God is forcefully pressing into our meetings, that before people can even get to our buildings, they're encountering God. And wherever Jesus went, there were these miracles. I mean, when the disciples signed up for this, they had no clue it was going to be so exhilarating. They had no clue it was going to be so exciting. That from day to day, it didn't matter where they were sleeping, didn't matter where they were eating, there was going to be some controversy, there was going to be some demonstration, there was going to be some clash of the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. What a way to live. What a way to live. These guys got to see some pretty amazing things. I had the privilege of meeting a man who was dead for 3 days last year. He was dead for 3 days. I thought the same thing. You were dead for 3 days. Whoa. I mean, imagine, you know, you walk in and there's a funeral procession. Jesus walked right up, opens up the coffin and says, "Get out." I mean, I don't know about you, but that would freak my being. That would make me slightly nervous. Or, you know, wherever he goes, there's someone paralyzed and says, "Get up and walk." Blind Bartimaeus. I mean, I can just imagine the disciples getting pretty irate, saying, "Can you please be quiet?" You know, if that was church, we'd have ushers escort them out. You're like, "Sorry, blind Bartimaeus, you're getting out of here now. You're making too much noise." Jesus stops, turns to him, and he gets healed. I love it. Jesus is perfect theology. Bartimaeus says, "Please, will you heal me?" And he says, "I'm willing. I'm willing to heal you." You want to know if God wants to heal you? Jesus demonstrates pretty clearly there, "I am willing to heal you." And instantly, Bartimaeus receives his sight. I mean, you know, that's kind of, I can just imagine Peter writing, "Dear diary, today we saw." If you read Mark chapter 1, 2, and 3, it's like a day in the life of Jesus. Things are popping and are hopping all over the place. And it's into this context that the disciples are sitting now, and Jesus is saying, "Greater things than this will you do." That is flipping amazing. That's our portion. I mean, I'm just thinking, I want to do flick-flacks at the very thought that there's a day coming where, because of my right relationship with the Father, we're going to see incredible miracles. If that doesn't excite you, you probably need to become a Christian again. And you think of this context, now they've been living with this guy for 3 years. They've signed the deal. They've left homes. They've left families. They've been so radical, they've left their business. Can you believe it? To serve Jesus. And wherever he's going, they're following. And then he says, "It's been great knowing you for these 3 years, but I'm going." Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I'm thinking, great, I signed on the dotted line, and now you're going. What am I going to do now? And he says, "But I want you to know, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to the Father, and I'm sending the Spirit." And there's something about that that gives us an insight, a key into understanding why Jesus did the things that he did. Jesus says to his disciples, "I do nothing unless I see my Father do it." He was not talking about his prophetic ability to see into the Spirit. He was talking about his right relating to the Father as a son. And he says to the disciples, "I will not leave you as orphans." One of the things I've seen in the church today is that many of our people do not know who their Father is. And we have what I call an orphan spirit that has dominated the thinking and the practice and the expression of many people in their Christian walk. And what happened is, because of our incorrect understanding, because of legalism, because of performance, because of incorrect relationships with earthly fathers, we began to relate to Father God in the same way. Now, many people don't have a problem with the sovereignty of God. Many people don't have a problem with God being all-powerful. Many people don't have a problem with God doing what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. But when it comes to this intimate father-son relationship, something begins to break down. I want to use the word sons in a generic sense. Okay, so guys, you're lucky because I'm calling you sons. Girls, you're not so lucky because you're going to have to be sons tonight. But the truth is that there's a day coming when all the men will be called the bride of Christ. So don't worry, it kind of evens it out, all right? So this is connection that Jesus puts to the Father. He says, "I'm going to the Father so that I can send the Holy Spirit, because you will not be left as orphans." I've seen in the church today that majority of the issues surrounding strongholds and deliverance has to do with an incorrect understanding of your position and your relationship as sons. The Father says you are no longer slaves. The day you got saved, you no longer were a slave, you became a son. And what we've done is we've created a culture of doing things for God rather than being with God. I had the joy of having a wonderful meal with Simon and Caroline, and I got to meet little Caleb. Caleb is the coolest kid around. I mean, he has the run of the house. He was showing me chair gnastics, is it? I mean, he was flick-flacking over these chairs, over these couches. He was doing his thing because he is a son. He's not concerned about whether his father's going to get, you know, concerned that it's a bit crazy, a bit dangerous to be doing flick-flacks over the couch. He's not concerned that, you know, if I have an extra chip, what's going to happen? He's feeling quite confident because he's in his father's house. And for many of us, when we come to relating to Heavenly Father, we come with this thing of, okay, Lord, I've done the checklist. I'm here. What do you want me to do for you? And we've become so consumed with doing things for God that we've forgotten enjoying Him. One of the things I find fascinating at the baptism of Jesus is there's an incredible picture, number one, of the Trinity. It's just amazing. Heaven opens up. The voice of the Father is spoken and says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." There's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. John says in John chapter 1 or 2, I can't remember, and he says that of John the Baptist, he says, I would have not known him unless I saw the Holy Spirit descend upon him and remain on him. And there's this wonderful picture of the Father saying, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." The thing I find most fascinating about that context is that Jesus had done nothing significant for his Father. He hadn't raised the dead. He hadn't done a miracle. He hadn't even preached his first sermon. But his Father was well pleased. My friends, you and I need to come into a place of a radical abandonment in our relationship with the Father in order for us to enjoy ongoing encounters of his power. The incredible things that the Bible describes the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of adoption. When the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us, He causes us to cry out, "Abba, Father." That word is a love word there. It's an intimate word. I'm telling some of the young people at Brickell on Friday that I have a bit of a cheesy, kind of corny, weird word for my own father. It is a bit cheesy, so forgive me. But I call my dad Popsy, which I think is kind of cute, personally, because he's my dad. And I've been calling him that since I was 3 or 4. And no one else gets the privilege of calling my dad Popsy. You call him that, I'll take you out. Because he's my dad, as a sign of the fact that he's my dad, I get to choose my love word for my father. And it is the Holy Spirit, when he begins to be poured out upon us, when we find ourselves soaking in his presence, when we find ourselves pressing into him, that we receive a spirit of adoption by which Romans chapter 8 tells us, we cry out, "Abba, Father." Something needs to change in our mind, folks. Something needs to be rearranged in our mind that it is not your performance. It is not your ability. It's not what you do for him that counts. It is the fact that you're a son. It is the fact that you have got relationship by the Spirit to the Father. In Jewish custom, the father would take the son out at the appropriate age, and he'll tell the marketplace, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. He can do business on my behalf." There is something about that moment when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon Jesus that gave him access to heaven's resource. When you become a Christian, when you encounter the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it gives you access into the very throne of God. In John chapter 14, right about verse 1, it talks about, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. He's not talking about the day you die, my friend. He's talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because when we have encounters with the Spirit, ongoing encounters with the Holy Spirit, we receive access to heaven's courts. We receive access to the Father's mansion. There is resource in heaven, and we become the gatekeeper of heaven and earth. We open our lives and let heaven out. You see, the incredible picture is of Adam, made out of the dust of this earth, and the kiss of heaven breathing life into him. Heaven comes to earth. Adam lost that. It's incredible. The Bible says we have fallen short of the glory of God. The day you got saved, you get to be restored to the glory you were called to live in. And when he fills you with the Holy Spirit, that kiss of heaven comes again. And heaven and earth meet. And I want to encourage you, we need to understand who our Father is, and it comes by the Holy Spirit. I love this word. It says, you know, Jesus says, I will send you another. And this word another is the word alos. It means one besides another of the same kind. The word shows similarities but diversities of operation and ministries. Jesus' use of alos, or another, for sending another comforter equals one besides me and in addition to me, but one just like me. He will do in my absence what I will do if I were physically present with you. The Spirit's coming assures continuity with what Jesus taught and did. I don't know if you got that. But basically, Jesus gives us the key to accessing the realm of power and the miraculous by building ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit. Folks, we can start a revival with that truth. I'm planning to start one anyway. So if you want to come along, that would be great. But coming into an ongoing encounter with the Holy Spirit releases me into a place where I know my Father. And Jesus steps on and he says, I want you to know, once you understand you're adopted, I want you to understand this. I am in my Father. You are in me. There is a oneness that comes by the Spirit through a radical intimacy with the Father that gives us the same resource, the same opportunity, and the same backing that Jesus had when he walked on planet Earth. The devil's worst nightmare came true the day the Holy Spirit was poured out upon his people, because all of a sudden 3,000 plus began to walk and talk and do the stuff that Jesus did. It's your inheritance. And then you could come a radical oneness with him again. Folks, he's so lovely. My Father is so lovely. And it's important that you understand that when you get into his presence and the Holy Spirit begins to fill you, there's something amazing. The presence of God has come into this place. There's something incredible in the exchange of that oneness, where all of a sudden it's not my ability, it's all his glory. And it's in this context of oneness. It's in this context of knowing that I am in the Son And the Son is in the Father. It's in this context of encountering Him by the Spirit. It's in this context of knowing that my inheritance in Him is secure. It's in this context of knowing that every access that Jesus had, I can now have. That Jesus says a very profound thing. He says, I will manifest myself to you. It's in this context of encountering the Spirit of adoption that Jesus goes, do you really want to see who I am? Bam. He manifests Himself to you. He brings ongoing revelation that radically transforms and alters your life. My friend, if you can grab a hold of this truth, that Jesus is not looking for qualification, He's looking for availability. That He's not looking for what you can offer Him, He's wanting to do a divine exchange. He's wanting to exchange your nature for His nature. He's wanting to bring you into a place where you know, because of oneness with the Father, that when you walk down the street and you begin to get revelation from Jesus personally, you can step out on it, act on it, and see people healed and saved and encountering the resurrected Lord Jesus. I mean, I'm just thinking we could go ballistic on that. God wants to bring you into a place of encountering Him. God wants to bring you into a place of meeting Him. It's the Spirit of adoption. The key to Jesus' power walking on planet Earth was not in His ability to be a really good guy. The key was that He knew who His Father was. There was sonship. For many of you, you've struggled with understanding the Father's love because of incorrect models. You know, one of the things, and I'm going to end with this. I grew up in a Christian home. I did the Christian thing my whole life. I was in leadership by the age of 18, preaching since the age of 15. I can pull off a sermon with my eyes closed if I wanted to. I really could. Because I've become so religious. And so pharisaical. And so performance driven. I used to have my little Christian scorecard. How many people have you witnessed to today? 6 people. Have you told someone about Jesus? Have you offended someone for the gospel? I used to have this kind of really nice religious thing of, praise God, I'm getting it right. But you know, like the older brother in the story of the prodigal sons, I was as far away from my father as the son who was backslidden. And it got so bad that, like the older brother, I couldn't even recognize the sound of a good party. He rocks up and he says, what's going on here? And I become so serious, so intense, so performance driven that my relationship with God, to be honest, was boring, uneventful, and it looked like I've been baptized in lemon juice. And when I began to understand that the house is open, that I can have a party anytime, that I can come and drink of the finest wine, I don't need a key like the slaves do to get down into the cellar and get a good bottle. I don't need to ask permission to get a lamb and put it on the barbecue and have a feast. This is my father's house. And do you know what the father says to the older son? So I feel God wants to speak to some older brothers here who've performed and worked and performed and worked. Son, you have me always. You have me always. For some of us, we've worked so hard at being so professional in our Christian life. We've worked so hard at reading all the latest gimmicks, all the latest books on 10 steps on how to become a soul winner. 15 steps on how to be financially prosperous. 101 ways to heal the sick. And we've missed the fact it's in our oneness by the Spirit of adoption. Interwoven in all of these scriptures is an incredible phrase. If you love me, you'll obey my commands. It's out of this radical love relationship that obedience becomes easy. It's out of this radical intimacy that obedience breaks open. You see, for many of us, we feel God's desired sacrifice. But you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. And it's not an absent obedience. It's not kind of like, I'll just obey God and do it. No, no. It's out of a radical intimacy. Because I am in the Son, and the Son is in the Father, and I'm receiving the Spirit of adoption. Greater things will you do. That's the promise. That's the promise. I hope I've provoked you tonight. The presence of God is here, my friend. God is in this place. And He wants to minister to some of you. Some of you, God wants to break off a spirit of performance. Some of you just thought, well, I never do good enough anyway, so I may as well not try. God wants to break off the spirit of an orphan heart and release the spirit of adoption. Some of you have been walking around carrying grief over opportunities that you felt like you've disappointed God in. And you said, God, I'm so sorry about that. And you keep coming again and again and again. Saying, God, forgive me. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. Sorry I missed that opportunity. And the Father wants you to say, I've forgotten it. It's over. Some of you are walking under condemnation because you think, well, I'm not involved enough. I'm not doing enough. I'm not praying enough. I'm not speaking in tongues enough. Today the Father wants to lift it off because the Spirit of adoption is here. Some of you just need to have a good party with God again. You've become so sour and baptized in lemon juice, you don't know what it's like to be happy anymore. And you're striving, you're kind of going to self-combust because you're striving so hard for God to meet with you. Chillax. God wants to meet with you. Yeah. There's some fine vintage tonight. He wants to pour it out. Some of you begin to pull on the presence of the Holy Spirit even as I'm speaking. He wants to pour it out. Some of you, the Holy Spirit wants to fill with power. Because you've kind of been waking saying, when can I do the stuff? I signed up for the stuff. I signed up to do the miracles. God says, go, do it. I want to pour out the Holy Spirit upon you. I want to encounter you in a radical way so that you can begin to step out in the purposes of God. God wants to break some of you, a fear of man. Because you felt, well, what happens if I look like a fool? What happens if I make mistakes? God wants you to know it's not your performance. His ability. Some of you felt like the heavens are brass. When you pray, you just don't seem to be getting anywhere. Father wants to say, where the Son is, you may be also. You can come and encounter Him around the throne of heaven. You can come and meet with Him. Some of you, God wants to just lift off some of these things you've been carrying. I'm hungry for the Holy Spirit. I'm hungry for His presence. I'm thirsty for the Spirit of adoption to fill me with all that heaven is. I'm hungry. Won't you get hungry for a moment? Won't you get hungry? Some of you need like the Spirit of Bartimaeus to come upon you where you're so desperate you don't care what you sound like. You don't care what you look like. You want God. Just get hungry. Just begin to pull on Him. Begin to drink from His presence where you're sitting. Begin to speak of His loveliness.